Taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and riding with me today, my man, Jamie Bashan. What's up, Pat? Yeah, Pat is our other host for the Freedom Train, don't forget. And the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACCSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, also make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. That's Freedom Train NET. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page. And you can also subscribe to the Freedom Train on either iTunes or Google Play Music just by going to them and looking for the Freedom Train podcast and then subscribing to it. And the podcast will come straight to your phone and you can be a special person. Uh-oh, Pat back with us. So, Jamie, Pat, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all feeling today?
Not much. Yeah, the internet is spotty where I'm at, so it went down again. Hopefully it stay up long enough for us to do the show.
Man, I told you about going to Motel 6, man. You need to upgrade to, like, the Embassy or the Sheraton or something.
Hey, man, you know, Motel 8. Motel 8 ain't popping no more. They don't leave the light on. Which one leave the light on for you?
Was that Motel 6?
I thought that was McDonald's.
That too, yeah. We these crusty ass nuggets on for you.
Yeah. So today we are going to discuss religion, but we're not gonna use this show to jump down people's throat or beat up on people, nothing like that. What we want to do is we want to take our time here and promote free thinking, promote thinking, period, using our thought process with this. So, you know, why are we religious? Why are black people following the religions they follow? What are the effects of us following these paths that we follow? What was the original purpose of us getting into these paths that we follow? Kind of put some thought into what we're doing and just trying to look at things from a holistic perspective of the relationship between, you know, especially black people in America and the different religions that we choose to become a part of. So, you know, Jamie, I want to start with you, man.
Aw, damn.
Yeah, man, let's go ahead and jump in, man. You know, get right, man. Go ahead and do it right. So, when we're talking about religion, like I say, no, my intent not to necessarily jump down nobody's throat. I mean, if you get them, you get them. That's on you. But, no, I'm just playing. But, how were you introduced to religion as a child growing up? How were you introduced to it?
Well, I was introduced to it by what I would think most people, especially African-American people, black people, have been introduced to it is through tradition, through the family. You know, grandma taking you to church Sunday morning, and that's kind of how you got indoctrinated into the religion that you follow now. It wasn't something that, you know, of course I studied and make a decision. It was just, you know, I was told to do this, so, you know, it was just what we did on Sunday. So quite honestly, that's how I picked up religion, and how I began, you know, following into religion. And be perfectly honest, through that indoctrination, a lot of things weren't explained to me. A lot of stuff wasn't, you know, put down in detail. Even going through Bible study, stuff like that, you know, a lot of stuff that wasn't getting covered. And, you know, eventually we all got questions about things. So it was the point, you know, after I got indoctrinated to where I had questions and I wanted to get them answered, and I knew I wouldn't get them answered through a church environment. So that's when I kind of branched out to find those answers. We'll get into that later, but it was just through family and tradition, man. And I picked it up and kind of ran with it until other things came along, new ideas came along. So I kind of start thinking out of that little box of religion.
Okay. Pat, same question with you. How were you originally introduced to religion?
The same as Jamie, and I agree with him when he said most black folk probably did get introduced through tradition, especially spiritual religion, but any kind of religious beliefs that we have about any subject typically come through tradition, elders in your families, mothers, fathers, whatever. So in my case, it wasn't necessarily my mom, because she wasn't religious like that, although she was still appeasing my grandma at the time. But it was for the most part my grandmother, who I think, like most black kids, our grandmothers are the holiest things in the world. And just like every other black kid, I thought, on the Day of Judgment, my grandma was going to be standing there next to Jesus giving him advice on who should get in and who shouldn't. That was my introduction to the world of spiritual religion.
Okay. And I same thing for me, through my mom mostly, taking us to church, forcing us to go to church with her, I would say. But from, I think we're all agreeing for the most part, most people were introduced to religion through their parents or grandparents. So with that being said, with religion being introduced that way, Jamie, how important to you is knowing the history behind a religion versus just what's written within those pages? Do you think knowing the not just the biblical, or I don't want to say biblical, I don't want to single out nothing, but not just knowing the history that is on the pages and the doctrine, is that just important, or is it also important to know the actual historical history that can go along with that, like human history? Do you think that's an important part of a person's journey as a religious person within whatever sect that they choose?
Yes, absolutely. But in that regard, once you start to understand that history, you're going to have questions, and you're going to start to question things. But knowing that context, because if you'd asked me this question some years ago, I'd have been like, the history doesn't matter. The Bible is infallible. It's the written word of God. It is a true statement, understanding this, that, and the other. So, but me now, here at 31, getting old, but I can honestly say the history of it actually does matter. And it's very easy. And to me, the Bible made more sense once I learned that history and was able to put it in proper context. Even when I looked at the Quran and stuff like that, understanding the history and seeing how certain things are written and how it goes, you can actually take more out of it, because now you can put it in proper context. Now you can kind of see where, things were altered, because it was, that's a fact. And you can kind of take out those real life lessons, those things that really help you spiritually, and kind of filter through all the riffraff and get rid of that part. Because the Bible and all these religious books, they're powerful books. They can really empower your mind. They can really empower your spirit and all that good stuff. But it's also a second part of that can be very divisive and, manipulate people. And that's what it's been used to do, is manipulate people. But the history of it is very important. Absolutely.
Oh, right. And, for me, the reason why I asked that, because, I'm big on, I'm history buff, historian, so I'm big on people knowing history, knowing actual human history. And that's kind of why I said it like that, like the actual human history that happened, being aware of it, being able to line up dates and things like that. Because you said something earlier that You believe that the Bible was infallible, correct?
At one point, yes.
And what made you initially believe that, and what helped reinforce those beliefs?
Church. Hell, your pastor sitting right there in the pulpit saying, this is the written word of God. This has got me, even the parts that was spoke by Jesus were in red print and all that good stuff. Like, this was the word. You don't question it. You don't challenge it. And anything that is contradictory to the Bible is wrong. It's devilish. I even saw a quote today. It was just saying, which much wisdom comes much grief. And it was posted by a religious person. It's pretty much saying, you know, just whatever that's written here, just believe it. Blind faith, which to me is ignorance. It's just another word for ignorance, blind faith. But that's how I was told, like, hey, this is just it. Like, just believe it. Believe it to be true. You know, everything in here is ordained by God, and this is the word of God. So the hearing the pastor say that, you know, grandma pop you in the mouth, you say, why the Bible say this? Don't question God. Get slapped in the face for some stuff like that. So slaps across the face, and, you know, the pastor, you know, perpetuating that constantly every Sunday, you know, you just think, hey, this is true. This is all fact. Like, I don't even have to look at the historical context of it and the matchup dates. This is just facts. You're wrong, science. That's how I thought at one point. And a lot of people still think like that, too.
Right, because to me, religion should empower people.
Right.
And what religion or spirituality, whatever path you take, it should empower you. It should encourage you to want the best for yourself, to be able to think for yourself. Because a lot, if we look at Jesus, I don't think a lot of people realize how much of a free thinker he was. Like I don't think a lot of people realize, even with Dr. King. Dr. King was a person who didn't just take what was given to him. He even analyzed the religious text and information that he was given. Like, critical analyzation of any text that you would take as a religious or spiritual doctrine is necessary. Like I said earlier, it should empower you. It shouldn't entrap you. It shouldn't have everybody thinking one way. It shouldn't have everybody moving one way and people afraid to question things. Like, because thinking for yourself and asking questions is not questioning God. Like, Jesus always left you questioning things. He always left you pondering. He always left you thinking about what was just said, not just clinging to it, like, I'm just supposed to go. I'm not sure how the blind faith got to where it is now in religion and the religious paths that people take, but the way you analyze things is very, 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 very important. We shouldn't be analyzing, like, songs more critically than we analyze the things, the doctrines that we take in as far as our religion and our spiritual paths. Because even people who leave Christianity and call themselves getting into the, conscious movement, a lot of those people don't think. They just take anything somebody in front of a mic says and just runs with it. And I'm saying this because I don't want people to listen to this and think we're just going on one path. No, this is for people who are beginning to question what they're taking in. Continue to question what you take in, but also back up your questioning with solid, concrete information. Go do some real research. Learn why this is this and this is this and this is this. If it's 18 books that's missing from the Bible, what are those 18 books? Go find those 18 books and read them if you really want to know all the stories. And that's called the Apocrypha. Like, get your hands on everything you can get on and read it and come up with your own ideas and things. I mean, because when people are not doing that, I think that's how we get to where we are now, like, especially with the masses, where people just follow anything and go. Think about it. When black people need to stand up, the first thing that white supremacists do is send out a preacher who is a cricket preacher. They send that cricket preacher out, and he can calm the masses down because most people are not thinking for themselves.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's the kind of the role when they send those black preachers out, is to just, hey guys, you know, let's just pray, let's just forgive. Even you saw that after the, you know, the shooting, that terrible shooting at the church in South Carolina. Immediately you had people all, you know, preaching forgiveness and forgiveness, and that's kind of that role. And to me, that's where you kind of see some of those things in religion, like, not like, we need, you know, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Sometimes we got to do unto people as they do exactly on us, or we just going to keep getting our ass whooped. And you mentioned Dr. King, and a lot of people, they take that spoon-fed image of Dr. King that's been given to us. He'll just get hit in the face with a rock and, oh, no, God bless you. And, yo, it's a lot of footage out there. Dr. King, like, ready to be about that work. You know, getting guns together and stuff like that, and they don't give us that context again.
Right, because they spoon-feeding us information.
And that's kind of how I was given religion. I was spoon-fed it. I wasn't given the full context of it. And like you said, these religious doctrines, whether it be Christianity, Islam, whatever the case may be, they're meant to put us to a higher level of consciousness and thinking and living, so on
right.
and so forth.
Right.
So if it's
right.
not doing
right.
that...
And it's not the religions, it's the way we go about being religious.
Yes, I agree
it's
with
the,
that.
It's because at some point you have to, like I said, at some point you got to question. At some point you have to question stuff. You have to, well, why is this? Well, why is this? Well, why is this? And a lot of times, like you said earlier, you ask those questions and your grandma or whoever say don't question God. I mean, I don't think God that bad of a person where you ask him a question and he get mad because you asked the question. I mean, wisdom and knowledge and understanding and sound judgment, you should ask for. You know,
well,
I mean, didn't Solomon ask for wisdom?
Yeah.
But I want to real quick highlight something Jamie said twice, which is context. History gives you context, and the reason
yeah.
why so many people have so many questions about their faith, their religions, in terms of not even just spirituality, but in terms of even religious beliefs they have about, you know, relationships or anything else, there isn't any historical backing. There's no, and history provides the context for you to be able to figure out a lot of those answers
right.
on your own. And with our, you know, our history gives you the answers outright, so there's no need to even figure anything out. But absent
right.
of that context, like he said twice now, you know, you have a situation where everything becomes dangerous, everything becomes problematic, everything becomes manipulative. Because there is no context for people to grab onto, you just present these abstract ideas floating out in space, and they're left to try to jump the gap from where they are to where that idea is, and they just make up a yellow brick road as they go.
Right. Now, that's real, because, like you say, looking at historical context, a lot of our revolutionary leaders throughout history were religious people, people of religious backgrounds, people who led real revolutions, people who changed, who helped change the way people thought and looked at governments and things, were very, very, very religious people and people with those strong backgrounds. So, like you said, it should empower you in that. And once again, like you said, that empowerment in that context will help rearrange the way people go about existing in religions, because religions haven't done anything to people, but it's the way that people go about being religious. And when you don't know your history, you don't know where these things started, you know, because you'll have a lot of people who leave Christianity and supposedly become conscious, and then, you know, talking down on Christianity, not understanding that Christianity came, and they'll be talking so good about Egypt and Ethiopia, not understanding that that's where Christianity come from.
Right. It's derived from African folklore and stuff and you said some people, like, religion hasn't done anything. If you leave,
right.
if you take man out of religion, you know what I'm saying, and you take the concepts, you don't take it literal, but you understand the lessons that are being taught to you in religion, then yes, in that context, it makes perfect sense. You know, what's being taught, you know, treating other, a lot of, all religions, if you look at some of the core principles, they're all saying the same thing. Treat others mm-hmm. like you want to be treated. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You reap what you sow. Even the laws of physics say that. Everything has an equal and opposite reaction. So if you really break down any book, they're all saying essentially some of the same core principles. What happens was when people subscribe to one particular religion, it makes it so divisive. It's, this is the way and no other way, or this you'll be condemned, you're going to hell, and the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran, when you try to put God in a book and define God as a book, to me, that's just, it's illogical to me.
Well,
personally.
It's humans trying to use our small minds to rationalize such a concept that we can't really rationalize God.
Absolutely.
We can't really wrap our minds around like the true God. You can't really understand that. You're not gonna understand that. And from my readings, we are aspects of the Creator who are in these physical beings in our bodies having these experiences to seek better understanding. But the only way you can seek understanding is to have an open mind and question, and not just question, but seek information, gather context, and use that and move forward to empower yourself. And when we're not doing that, we have a problem. Because to me, I think it's very dangerous for people to go out and tell black people just to quit their religions and stop being religious and do this and go back to the African religions and all these things. I think that's very dangerous. You can't do that. Because, first of all, do you know what you're talking about when you're telling people that? Do you really know all of what you're talking about? And secondly, you're going to divide more people than bring people together, because I don't think it's important for people to leave religion. I just think it's important for us to, like we've been saying the whole time, change the way we go about being religious and change the way we go about existing in these religions.
And I agree with that. You know, like I tell people, you look at religion over history, once it was created, it was manipulated to serve the purpose of powerful people, people that are in charge. I mean, you look at the history of Christianity, I mean, they were going into the whole regions and just killing off the population, and the people that were left over, they were being subjugated to Christianity and being taxed out of their ass. But I digress. That's the history. So that was terrible. I was about to go on a whole tangent and stop myself.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was. Really. Oh man, I almost forgot what I was saying. But I think, like I said, religion in itself, if you leave that alone and you take man out of it and we kind of just sit back and understand the lessons that are being taught, then I get it. Like, I'm not for anybody like, you should just quit being Christian or this, that, and other. Be whatever the hell you want to be. It's your life. You go by it. But do not just see the entire world through the lens of your religion, because at that point, now you put other people as lesser than, or you condemning certain things, this, that, and the other, because it's based on your religious doctrine. I think it's perfectly acceptable for you to be a Christian but still have the common damn sense to understand everybody doesn't subscribe to your religion. And to my knowledge, I don't know, maybe some secret meeting that happened, I've not heard God come down and ordain one religion over the other. That just hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's man doing that. But go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just going to say, but that's interesting too, because even in the Bible, it speaks to their different people having different gods. You know
right.
what I'm saying? It, like, that speaks to that. Now, while obviously, the Hebrews thought their God was the best God, and that's obvious because the Bible is written about their God.
Right.
So, of course, from that perspective, just from a storytelling, narrative-based perspective, of course, if I'm writing a book, my God is going to be the best God, period. But I think context, and I'm going to come back to that because I think that's such a vital point that was brought up. Context provides the opportunity for people to make better assessments, to be better in their in the execution of their religion. I mean, when you look at, like, we'll go to Christian because 80% of black people view religion as very important, and they view themselves as being Christians, which means they view being a Christian as very important. We'll go back to Christianity, though, with this doctrine. It is a common one when people are talking about the misogyny that's evident in Christianity. And they quote all these scriptures, especially ones from Paul and Corinthians, that says a woman should not, or a woman should be silent and only ask questions to her husband and in the home. And, you know, you look at that and they say, oh, nowadays everybody's like, oh, my God. So the Bible is basically telling women to shut the fuck up. And it's like, right. Wait a second. If you have some context for that, the history, and you understand the times around which that situation was going on, it was saying don't ask questions in the synagogue because men and women worshiped in two different areas. So for a woman to stand up and ask a question during worship ceremony, she would disrupt the ceremony because she would have to stand up or she would have to yell out in the middle of worship to get the attention of her husband or whoever else so that she could ask her question. So it's just about, it's not about women can't speak whatsoever. It's about there's a time and a place to do things. And the time and the place isn't necessarily why we all trying to get our worship on for you to scream out. Another one is when they talk about women should be quiet when a man speaks. Again, we put that in context. Back when they used to have services, the men would be in the inner circle and the women would be in the outer circle, and they would be singing. And ironically, nobody takes issue with that part. But they would be singing and dancing. The women would be in the outside singing and dancing, and the men would be on the inside conversing. Well, I can't hear what you're trying to say, what this person is trying to say, if y'all are cutting up behind me. So it's not saying women don't speak at all when men are talking. It's in that particular environment. When they're having conversations about worship, about matters of spirituality, about this, that, and the third, can you hold it down so that we can hear just a little bit? So it's just context. I think context. I'm done.
Now, and I agree with you on that part. There's certain parts that, you know, certain people will take completely out of context and flip over and turn this way and other. But to those people who do make that argument about the misogyny in religion, they got a lot of valid points and a lot of valid scripture to back up that, other than, you know, the obvious, you know, girl, shut up, don't talk while I'm talking.
Very true.
And if you look at it, you know, even according to those times, and a lot of times even it's still in modern society and people don't want to acknowledge that, but Christianity doesn't hold a woman at, you know, the right of the man. It doesn't do that. I was about to be biased for a second, but in some other religions, it's even more so, like, the women play these secondary roles to the men. And I can see both sides of that, but I do think that's a valid argument when they say misogyny in religion, but I honestly do. But if you go back to the beginning, I'm going to finish this up, of where all these religions originated from, the women were just as important as the men. So when you look at that timeline, it wasn't until about when it got Europeanized, you know, after the Council of Nicaea, that the woman started playing that lesser role in a lot of these religions. Well, in Christianity more specifically.
Right.
But in other religions, once it got, you know, taken out of Africa and put into a different context, then the women were placed at a lesser role to men. Does that make
women,
sense?
Women and men have always had their places on earth and in the societies and cultures that they've existed. But I still say it goes back to how people choose to exist within the religions, how they choose to interpret the information, how they choose to use the information. Because some cultures, some places that, and some religions, women are treated horribly. But hell, think about, like, I'm gonna use this. Look at some Muslim countries and look how women are treated. Look at India, Hindu. Look how they Nelly and Delhi and New Delhi. Last time I looked, Delhi and New Delhi had some of the highest rape numbers in the world.
Absolutely.
Hinduism and stuff. Look how we treat our women in this supposed Christian society. So it's how people choose to use this information. Because think about men. I just gave you three different cultures, and all three of them men treat their women like shit. Not all the men do that, but all of them still have men within them. Even men who are religious leaders within all three of those realms who would treat their women like shit. So it's not, not saying that you go down that path, but people go down that path to condemn other religions for the way they do things and do that, but it still go back to the individual way that people choose to interpret and use the information. And that has to change. And until we change that, people are always going to be at each other's necks, and people are always going to be pointing their fingers and looking down and talking down on others, because nobody's looking in the mirror and checking the way that they use it and seeing that, hey, maybe we all of us, everybody should do something different. Let's think about this a little deeper and change the way we're doing something.
Well, I think to that, one thing that we have to do is we have to acknowledge. Again, I'm going to say it one more time, context and historical reference. But deeper than that, context doesn't just mean studying the Bible and the history of the Bible. It also means cultural relevancy. Understanding the cultures of the people that are in the Bible, because I think a lot of the times cultural relevancy is lost on a lot of, especially us here in America, where we're pretty much raised to believe that we are the shit, you know what I'm saying, and everybody else is just the ground we land on. We gotta, like, cultural relevancy, what's acceptable to us and unacceptable to us doesn't necessarily apply to other people, and it damn sure doesn't apply to other times. And so
Say that again.
Well,
please,
you know,
say that again.
We got on podcast, so they can run it back. But I think one of the things we got to grasp is that aspect of it. And we also, like, when people have context, full context, meaning historical context and cultural context, they can then begin to make the decisions to say, you know what, we don't have church service like that anymore, so there ain't no reason for me to tell my woman to shut up. We don't do things like that anymore. So this particular rule that is really just a sentence in a book that I've interpreted to be a rule doesn't necessarily apply. It's not applicable to modern day, modern society. And now you have all of these books that are supposedly updated versions of the Bible, that where all they really did was change the language and the terminology, but they didn't really do anything to address the cultural relevance, and they still aren't addressing any of the other things that are going on. And it's not just the Bible. I'll focus on the Bible because, like I said earlier about Christianity, but also because of the fact that the Bible is one of the most changed spiritual texts in modern existence. It's one of the most changed holy books we've ever seen. For most other people, their holy book, the change any word of it is forbidden. And we don't mean like that bullshit ass, you can't do it, but the people can get together and do it. No, we mean that it's literally forbidden. So, we talk about it on that level, but I just think one of the real problems is that we don't have historical context and we aren't looking from a culturally relevant lens. And it's very true that women's place in society has been degraded largely since God was made masculine. I mean, if you really want to trace it all the way up to when there was a female counterpart to every other god, there was some level of equality. Now, can women argue that they didn't have the same roles as men? Of course. I don't care who I piss off with this, it's silly to think that you can do everything a man can do, just like it's silly to think that a man can do everything a woman can do.
We're not here to do everything that the other counterpart is supposed
we're
to be doing.
We're designed to complement each other. We're designed to, I can't do this, but you can. You can't do this, but I can. Women have a router peripheral vision. Men have a more narrow vision, but it's more focused on detail. You know, women, you know, we can go down the list of things that biologically are just different in the way we interact with, process, and view the world. So, and that's all there for a reason, to accommodate the different roles we have. So I don't care if you get upset because men can do this and women can do this and blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is there was equality in the value placed on the sexes when there was a female counterbalance to the male deities. And the moment we stripped the femininity from God, or gods, however you want to believe it, is the moment we created that imbalance. And right now you have people on the other end trying to fix it by making all gods feminine, which is just going to create another imbalance on the other side of given time. So I just think cultural relevancy is important, historical context is important, and understanding how these things affect our morals and values. If God is a man, then of course I view men as more important than women. If God is a woman, then of course I view women as more important than men. Fact of the matter is, a man can't make a baby without a woman, and a woman can't make a baby without a man. There it is. I don't care what y'all running around talking about, women can impregnate themselves. You full of shit. And I tell you full of shit to your face, because you are.
Balance. It's all about balance. And what that's, it's everything, if you look at it, is created to, it's reliant on something. You know, plants just don't grow because it's like, yo, I'm going to grow. No, they need the sun. Hell, us, without the sun, we die. The whole earth is void without the sun. So there's a balance to everything. And to think, like, I don't know, I always get frustrated when I hear my father, you know, as a reference to God. Like, how you know God is a dude? We don't know that for sure.
Well, that's because the doctrines that they're used to. But as God encompasses all. So that when we're talking about the four, we're talking about, all right, well, let me say it like this. When you were taught, when you are taught that the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, versus a concept of a God force. Because think about that, God being a being versus a force. Because a force would encompass all, male and female. Right. A being, especially like a being, and you saying this is he and he and he and he and he and he and he, and then when you make the stories, especially like for the Judeo-Christian canon, we make the stories that Adam was created and Eve come from Adam, because in other traditions, you know, they have gods and goddesses, you know, like Pat alluded to, because that female counterbalance was always there, but it was taken out. But that's when, to me, that's when historically God was looked at as a man, a white man, versus a force.
And I'll completely agree with that. And that's one thing, whether, like I said, we're not picking on certain religion. I'm talking about religion in general. It's just how we interpret what God is. And to me, I don't care what religion you subscribe to, I think it puts God in a box. It's a he. Or God is, I was about to say something terrible. But God is a he, and we put God in a small box. And through my studies, and I think everybody, it's not just me going and watching a YouTube video and changing my mind. It was me sitting there actually studying the material and taking new factual data, actual history, and that's what separates, you know, actual facts from belief, which is what religion is. It was through my studies I realized that through religion, all you're doing is minimizing God. We'll say we got a big God, then put all these rules and regulations on.
But they limit God. They limit God.
That's what religion does. It puts God in a box. Like, you know, God is a jealous God. You will worship no other gods because God is a jealous God. That doesn't even make sense. Think about that.
Not for an omnipotent being, it doesn't. But that's why we have to get people to think, and really use rational thought about the things that they're going in, especially if you're a person who is questioning, you're a person who are looking for new information. This is not for people who are not looking for something new. This is not for people who are questioning. This is not for people who feel like what we're saying are crazy. This is not for people who feel like, hey, the word is infallible. This is for people who are in transition, who are starting to question. Like if you, you know, you have to have context. You have to think. You have to have information. You have to use it, because there's no way an omnipotent being will have human qualities. But once again, who's giving you these messages?
Humans.
Right.
No, but look, like we know humans, but think about it, because like I was telling Pat, I had a conversation with a gentleman this past weekend who's a bishop at an Orthodox Christian church, and we were having this conversation that we're having now. This is the conversation we were having, because everybody, the way they look at Christianity is totally different than the masses that we're used to. And so it's who's giving you these messages, and how are the messages giving? Who's reinforcing them as well? Go ahead.
Right now, especially in terms of the books, and I would say all of them, all the ones I've read anyways. I haven't read all of them, but I've read about 4 or 5 of them. You know, they're all like a manual. You know, you have the sales pitch, you have the purchase, and then you have the return policy. You know, and the sales pitch is, you know, if you come into our faith, the world will shine, and you'll be rich, you'll be powerful, you'll have the opposite sex hanging off your genitalia, you know what I'm saying, and all will be right with the world. And then you make the purchase, and it's like, okay, so now you're here. Just keep with it, and eventually all that stuff we gave you in the sales pitch will work out. But just keep with it. And then you have the return policy. Well, you don't like it, and that's too bad. You can't leave, because if you leave, then it's going to be really bad. You know what I'm saying? Because God is jealous, and he will send you into a lake of fire where you will burn for all eternity for any decisions you made in the 60, 70 year life you had. That will warrant you being burned for an eon. You know what I'm saying? So you know, you look at it from that perspective, and you see a lot of the maneuvering for what it is, and that's where it becomes extremely manipulative for me and for a lot of other people, is just that entire dynamic of these humanoid characteristics being shoved onto a divine entity that really don't match up, but you're not permitted to ask questions. And then you think about the implications that has on the way you view the world in other arenas, from other perspectives, and other, you know what I'm saying, and other things that you have going on in your life. And you begin to see how that impacts, you know, everything else that you have going on around you. It's a situation where I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I was cooking too.
No,
be free. Think free. Be free.
The old quote. What is it? The soul, what the mind of man believes.
So what a man thinks, so would it be?
Yes. And yeah. When you look at and it's just, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you got to put some common sense and logic to what you believe in. And if reading and understanding new information and accepting makes you completely disregard your faith, then you didn't have faith to begin with. I had a question. You said you were talking with somebody about religion, and I was too. And I told them, I was like, you know, somebody had a gun in your head, and it was your wife and children or something like that, would you die for them? Absolutely, no question. I was like, somebody had a gun in your head, would you die for your religion? Dude started the question. I was just making, you know, a joke, but sometimes we claim to be these devout, you know, whatever the case may be, but are we really to go that mile? No, and I'm not, and I'm just giving that to, I'm not telling people you should go jump off a bridge in the name of your religion. What I'm getting at is sometimes we're committed to it and we don't fully understand what we're committing to. And we're subscribing to these theories and these stories and these myths and not fully understanding how it impacts our day-to-day lives. So, for example, if you still believe that the curse of Ham is the reason why black people are black, that's dumb. I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I went on a purpose not to say stuff like that, and I did, so I apologize. That's a little far-fetched. We black people are the first people on this earth, so how did a curse of Ham turn our skin?
Well, once again, not having historical context.
True. Then, right. And to say, you know, the woman was made from man, rib, no, we all came out of vagina, so when did that stop happening? I'm just throwing a hypothetical out there. You came from a vagina, like, we all did. There's no question about that. We all came from vaginas. So, to really believe that as true and fallible, you know, no. Your women's birth wasn't created complicated because you ate an apple. Birth has always been like that before there was a thing called religion. A lot of people think religion existed from the beginning of time. There was a time when there was no such thing as the Bible.
Well, you know,
or Quran, or any of these religious doctrines.
You know, the Christian, because most people that we are, you know, that will probably listen to this and that we are affiliated with go by the Christian timeline of humanity. So we 6,000-7,000 years, if you want to go there. So I know that, but once you like go back and look at you know, history, I mean, the earth has to be more than 6,000 or 7,000 years. I mean, we have evidence, like we have human remains, like the oldest human remains that are always found are female. Always, when you find old human remains over millions of years, they're mostly female. And then when you talk about the woman coming from, I mean, that satisfied the woman coming from the man, but the oldest remains being female, but you're talking about the curse of Ham. I mean, look at, all right, well, what does history tell us about 8,000 years ago? Like, who was alive 8,000 years ago? Now, we do know that the Khoisan of South Africa and the Twa of Africa, they have, you know, information suggesting that they go back hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, you know, just the curriculum that Pat and I and our group put together, we went back 20,000 years. I mean, we went back. Like, we went back to Ta Seti, and Ta Seti existed before Egypt's first dynasty. So, you know, I've even found more information that goes back further than Ta Seti. So we talk about, you know, tens of thousands of years of information that's available to us. But once again, that's why the dogma exists. The dogma exists so because if you go think for yourself, then I no longer have a flock to follow me and feed into my madness.
Okay, you just said something that's going to set me off. All right, so we were, like, even if you subscribe to the Bible, you were made in the image of God. Where does it say you were made in the image and likeness of a sheep? A sheep will follow something off of a cliff.
Or the mindset of a sheep.
Yeah, sheep is not a smart. You shouldn't strive to think and be or take on the qualities of a sheep. You are made by a creator that is all powerful. Wouldn't the very purpose of your mind, the beauty of it, is to be able to think critically. Anything that tells you not to do that goes against the very will of what you were created for.
Right, but go back to what we were talking about earlier. Those people, a lot of our people never learned that. Because that was never a part of their indoctrination. That was never part of their learning process. That was never part of their programming of thinking for yourself. Because from the beginning, they were taught to follow. We were lucky enough to have come across information, or our light switch came on, or something happened to allow us to begin free thinking. I know me personally, I never I never went to church and was like, all right, well, let me learn this stuff. Let me get down to it. Let me learn it and be indoctrinated, because I never wanted to be there. Even when I was young, my mom always dragged us. So that was my attitude. I don't want to be here. She's forcing me to be here. So me personally, I never tuned in. I never kind of, all right, well, Reverend preached a good sermon. Somebody would be like, he preached a good one. I'd be like, man, I was ready to go an hour ago. No, that was me. So I never got that, but at the same time we did kind of get that because the rhetoric and the things that we were using. But when you start thinking for yourself, because I remember me, the first, like, just because we have the Christian background, the first thing that made me think was when they said God said, or Jehovah said, thou shalt have no other God before thee. But then people were saying that Jesus and Jehovah are synonymous. I was confused. So that, for me, started my thinking of, really, that just started my thinking, period, of breaking down religion and kind of see what is and what isn't. But if my whole view has been molded a certain way for so long, I'm not going to think like that until and then when I am presented with new information, I'm going to reject it until something happens. A seed has to be planted.
Absolutely.
So if that seed is never planted, cause for some people, the seed may not be planted until you're 30 years old, and then it may not sprout until you're 40.
And no, go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, well, you know, one of the biggest reasons why, especially, and you guys just made a bunch of excellent points, and I think one of the things we also have to acknowledge is that traditionally spirituality teaches us that human nature is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself is extremely problematic because, you know, if we were made in God's image and God's likeness, and then at the same time you're telling us that our innate desires, abilities, wants, and desires are the enemy of enlightenment, then aren't you also in a way telling us that the God that we're supposed to be worshiping is the enemy? You know what I'm saying? You know, so we go down
That's
these,
innate.
We go down these rabbit holes where we're taught one thing, then raised to believe another thing, and then this confusion sets in, and we're told not to question the confusion. You know what I'm saying? We're told that the confusion itself is a sign of our own impurity or unreadiness or whatever the case might be, our own lack of divinity or whatever the case might be. And all of those things, again, need to be addressed when we're talking about spirituality, when we're talking about religion. It's not just a philosophical debate. I mean, you're talking about things that cover the realms of anthropology, archaeology, biology, you know, ecology. You know, you go down the line, psychology, you go down the line, all of these things are affected by these beliefs. And it's just, I think it becomes... history, historical context, and cultural relevancy. We need to do a better job of both of those. We also need to do a better job at thinking deeply about the things that we're saying. If it's true that I was made in God's image and in God's likeness, and you're telling me that that means that God put a little bit of his energy inside of me, which I have to believe, because when I get together with somebody else who has that same spark, we gain the only real godlike power there is, which is the power to create.
Thank you.
So I have to believe that. Then you can't in the same turn around and tell me that me being me is inadequate, that me being me is not enough. And on the same sense, we got to look at some of those things and again think about them deeply. If God says that there should be no other gods before me, then that implies that there are other gods.
Right.
So,
right.
What are we talking about? Are we still talking about a one God situation, a monotheistic situation? Or are we going into another situation? Like, there are all these questions that you should have, because
they're not asking.
God put himself, if you want to say that, or herself, if you want to say that, or itself, if you want to say that. It was placed in you so that you had a mind that could perceive the world, grow. Curiosity is a wonderful thing, And we have the, again, we have these doctrines all around the board, not even just focused on Christianity. All of them, at some point, on some level, tell you that human nature is a problem. Human nature is not the problem. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but you're exactly right. I mean, to suggest that human nature is a problem, like you said, would suggest that our God-like abilities and qualities is a problem. And God, the force of God, is innate within humanity. It's an innate part of humanity. So we have the ability to be fallible, and we also have the ability to become infallible. But to me, because we're taught the way we're taught, that's why ascension and enlightenment is not reached. Jesus was an enlightened being. He reached enlightenment. But once again, of course, we're not hitting on that with this particular show, but just touching on that point, you're like, human beings will never reach their fullest potential if we continue to go down these religious paths that we're supposed to. Because look how, like when you are the person who reads the books, and your outcome of the book is, well, those other people are wrong, so we should kill them, or those other people are wrong, so we should look down them. Like, people even get Jesus mixed up. Like Jesus was a straight, Jesus was a rebel. Jesus was, if Jesus was alive today, they'd have him on CNN talking about how crazy and dangerous he is and stuff like that. But it's like, it's about free thinking. It's about using your free will to align with the will of God, or I should say to align with the force of God, to become into alignment with God. That's the purpose of the free will. But we're not taught this information, huh?
Real quick, I wanted to clear up, because I said human nature wasn't the problem, but I never clarified what is.
Go ahead.
In my opinion, human nature is not the problem. The fact that we're taught to despise human nature creates problems.
Right.
The fact that we're taught confusion and then taught to not ask questions about the confusion that's been instilled in us creates a problem. The fact that we're taught to hate and fear those that, not even fear, we're taught to hate those that think differently from us. Because I think fear is natural, but fear can be overcome. You know, the unknown is always going to scare you. But when you're taught to hate the unknown, so a lot of the problems we're having now are not because of human nature, they're because of our desire to change human nature and not work within the realm of human nature, and to, in other senses, try to avoid or ignore human nature altogether. When you tell somebody that it's wrong for them to masturbate, and then at the same time tell them that it's immoral for them to have sexual thoughts, and then at the same time tell them that it's wrong for them to engage in sexual activity with another person until they're 35 or 40 years old, you know, until they're married, shall we say, you create a situation where there's going to be a lot of negativity involved on an energetic level, on a character level, on a multitude of different levels. You create a situation.
Level.
Right. You create a situation where there are problems happening because people are dealing with things that you didn't assist them with that are naturally occurring phenomena that they're being told to suppress with no real reason, no real excuse, and no real assistance. So the problem, if you want to boil it all down, right now is culture, and the culture that says that human nature is the problem.
Once again, the way we go about being religious as black people in America has to change. Because we have to ask ourselves, like, the number of churches that are out there in the black community is steadily growing, but our conditions aren't getting any better. Let's think about that. The number of churches in the black community are steadily growing, but our conditions are not getting better. So that means that the way we go about doing what we're doing is not working at all. And until we change those things, we're gonna have some issues, and we're gonna continue to be in this situation where we are, and we're gonna continue waiting on Jesus to come back and save us, instead of understanding that we have the ability and the power of God and the Christ consciousness within us to raise ourselves up and save ourselves.
I was saying something, Jamie. No, I was having some computer issues, my fault. And Joe, man, stop muting me, man. Nah, I saw that, dog. Don't be muting me. Don't do me like that, man. Nah, I'm joking. In regards to religion, and I say this to a lot of people, you know, if it makes you a better person, then I'm all for it. Absolutely. You know, believe
it. But it got to make you a smarter person, too.
Agreed. But at the same, that's what I'm getting at. If it makes you a better person, I get it. But also understand that there's lessons to be learned, that you can't take something that was written that you have no proof of and just completely say, you know, this is the way life should be, this, that, and the other, and see your entire world through that. That's so divisive, and it creates conflict. It creates most of, you know, you look at a lot of these wars that were fought throughout history, a lot of it boils down to money and religion. We're not just, you know, coming up and bombing people that have the same, practice the same faith as the same nation. That usually doesn't happen. The Crusades, religion. So practice whatever you want to, but when it comes to being a human being, at the end of the day, that trumps everything, in my opinion. And one thing, you know, as we talked about the journey to understanding and enlightenment and all that kind of stuff, and I think we're all continuing, like, I haven't reached it, and I'm, you know, I'm not the Yoda of the, you know, of the game, but we should all seek to understand, and anything that tells you, you know, knowledge is bad, wisdom is bad, you got to dig a little bit deeper than that. You know, at the end of the day, when we were, you know, our ancestors were in slavery, you gotta wonder, why were they the only book they were allowed to read was the Bible? Anybody ever asked that?
No, I mean, but listen.
I'm just saying.
Like, no, but people have asked that, and not only have people have asked that, people have rationalized the whole experience of slavery into saying that to them, slavery wasn't that bad because it helped African people who were brought to America, it helped them find Jesus. People have said that.
I got a problem with that. My number one thing, and Pat kind of alluded to this earlier with human nature, I fully believe God gave me all the tools I need in life. I don't think, you know, for him to come back and drop a book, get a book deal, drop a few books, I don't think that's necessary. Professor James Small said this, I was listening to one of his lectures. He said, you are God having a human-like experience. We all have a piece of that in us.
See, now you're trying to get deep on it now.
I'm trying to. So, and with that regard, that was a seed when I heard that lecture. That was a seed he planted into me, and I was just like, okay, that makes sense. You know, we're all God having a human-like experience. I was created by something all-powerful and all-being. Why am I confining myself to the doctrine of a book that was written 2,000-some years ago that's honestly a lot of the lessons, some of them are applicable, some of them aren't. But when you look at God on this grander scheme versus this puppet master who has this plan that's already going to play out regardless of you, it's just like this. I don't think people understand free will and how it contradicts a will of God, if you will. Does that make sense?
If you're saying free will contradicting the will of God?
Yeah. So how can I have free will, but God has this plan that, you know?
Oh yeah. If your life is predestined, then free will has no place.
Then if my life is predestined, that means everybody's sitting up in heaven watching what was going on like a soap opera right now. Like, you know, I already know the ending, but, yo, this is going to be dope. Watch Jay say this stupid-ass shit on his iPod.
Right, yeah. But seriously, though, but that is real, though. But that's why, once again, it goes back to, that's why we're promoting free thinking. That's why we're promoting people to go back and, even us, read the information, digest the information, like really seek understanding of the information, and move forward with that after you've sought true understanding, because what we lack in understanding, we're gaining in oppression.
I agree with that.
You know, But not to be on this subject too long and not to, you know, beat a dead horse, but we do want our people to know that we love y'all, but it's time for us to change the way we are religious and inject more free thinking into it so we can improve our overall conditions as a whole and as individuals. Now, next week, we'll have the founders of That Suits You on the show telling us about their foundation, their organization, how they go out into the community and supply suits for men in the community and help men learn how to dress themselves and go find the pieces and things they need. And they create a whole organization designed behind empowering black men through the way they dress. And so I think we're going to have an incredible show next week. So y'all make sure y'all get yourself ready for that. Jamie, Pat, as always, man, I appreciate y'all. This was a good discussion, good enlightening discussion, putting stuff on the table. And I hope our people take the information and use it. What you can't use, you don't need to use it. What you can use, take it and move forward with it. And, you know, it is what it is. So with that being said, we're going to throw two fingers up like a player. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.